yesterday, 16 years ago, it was you and I for the last time. You and Gertie said, with a smoke ring round your heads, you would see me on the other side. Come on.
Liam, I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
All right, welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. And today we're just going to cover off a few bits of news, and I'm being joined by Mark from Remember the First Time Podcast. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me on today.
No problem. And just to let people know, we've just done about 40 minutes talking about Definitely Maybe and other random related stuff on that world, which will soon be available on your guys' podcast, or a chunk of it will be anyway. So yeah, but do you want to just tell people about what Remember the First Time is?
Yeah, sure. So Remember the First Time is exactly that. We are remembering the first time that you heard an album, first time that you got into an album. We're celebrating Britpop predominantly, but we don't know where it will go in the future. But we're celebrating albums that were released 25 years ago, in chronological order, really. As you've pointed out, the next episode is on Definitely Maybe, and we'll be releasing that on the 25th anniversary, so on the 29th of August. And yeah, it's just a fun way for us to celebrate albums that meant so much to us as we were growing up, or as you'll know from listening to the first few episodes, really just a little bit before we were getting into music. But yeah, celebrating albums from 25 years ago in chronological order, and reviewing them, what we thought of them then, what we thought think of them now, whether they've aged well, that type of thing. But it's, yeah, a good fun look at those.
Cool. So the one thing I was just going to pick up with you, the biggest news in the world of the Gallagher Brothers this week, really, is Liam's new song, One of Us, has just come out. So yeah, what's your initial thoughts on it?
I'm enjoying it. I don't think there's anything, it's not jumped out at me in the way some of his other tracks have straight away, but I am enjoying it. There's been a lot of, I think there's a lot of people online talking about, oh, it's a big appeal from Liam to Noel to get Oasis back together, but I think they're just playing a game, really, as they always have done. I think Liam and Noel are both so well, both so good at controlling the press, and back in the 90s it was always Oasis versus Blur. Nowadays it's always Liam versus Noel, and I think Liam is probably playing into the hands of that. But I think it's a decent track.
I think it's a really interesting one about the lyrics, because they a few days ago, it kind of there was, you could go on the Liam's website, and where you can order the album with like the special deluxe kit with all the with the lyric sheet and everything. And if you zoomed in and tilted and enhanced, you could actually see the lyrics to One of Us. And and then also a couple of stills had come out of the video that's going to be coming out very shortly. And it looks like basically the three Gallagher brothers like wandering around, but they're like, you know, 7, 10 and 14 or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, so that's those stills with the lyrics. It was like, oh wow, this is going to be like a huge ballad. You know, I thought this was going to be another one similar to Once or For What It's Worth, a big sweeping ballad, a paean to Noel to get the band back together. But then actually it's like a funky like Ian Brown sort of track.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh wow, okay, this was not what I was expecting at all. Like you don't remember, you said we'd live forever. Who do you think you're kidding? You are only one of us in time. When you come tonight, disappear a thousand times, keep me hanging on to the old life. And the lyrics are weird as well, because it says like, hey man, did you know it was 16 years ago?
Well, I'm trying to work out what was 16 years ago.
Exactly. What, 2003? You know.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it was, he's writing, well, there's a couple of options here. He's writing from the perspective of 2009, when the band split up, and he's saying to Noel, it was 16 years ago in 1993, so like when they, you know, got signed and stuff. So that's an option. I mean, the other thing is partially that people have said it's about Molly Moorish, because his daughter, you know, who he sort of re-engaged with when she was like 16, 17. But then that doesn't then tie in with all the other stuff that's, you know, you said we'd live forever and things like that. Well, what? No, you know. And so that doesn't make sense. And there's also, it says, you and Gerdie said, G-E-R-D-I-E, Gerdie. I don't know who Gerdie is.
No, I was wondering that too. No idea who he's referring to there with Gerdie.
Yeah.
And I think as well, looking at the lyrics, obviously he, it sounds like he's appealing to Noel to bring them back together, but I also think he's just massively slating Noel as well. With him saying, you said we'd live forever, I feel like he's saying, you used to be one of us, obviously, clearly that's the name of the track, yeah. But who do you think you are now?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's tracks on, we spoke about Definitely Maybe earlier, as we've just mentioned, and there's tracks on Definitely Maybe, Up in the Sky, where Noel Gallagher is commenting on the political elite in the country just not understanding people like himself. Well, I think Liam is almost saying in the lyrics of this, you are still one of us. You're not up there. You're not a god, which you seem to think you are, almost.
yeah, up there with Bono on there. Yeah. On them rock Mount Olympus.
Definitely. So, yeah, I think it's almost asking him to come back full circle and to remember who he is, remember who his roots are. I think that's the most basic way of looking at the lyrics, but I think it's probably the case.
I do agree. It's just a bit weird. So we'll see, you know, once it's officially kind of, we get the video and we get the official lyrics, because a couple of like websites have picked it up, like for instance genius.com has it as you angrily said, but it's not, you know, when you look at the it looks like you and I originally thought it might be Geordie. You know, but it sounds to me like Gerdie, but, you know, who knows? Who knows? It'll all come out in the wash, I suppose.
I'm sure it will, but in terms of the sound, yeah, I quite like it. It's quite full on. I appreciate towards the end of it with the gospel choir that you can hear in the background. I appreciate that sound and the production there. But, yeah, I think it's a solid track. I don't think it's one of his best, but I think it's definitely worth listening to.
How are you feeling about the album now? Now we've heard Shockwave, Once, The River, and this one.
I'm looking forward to it. I appreciated the first album. A lot of people, I've heard so many mixed reviews on the first album. So many people saying, oh, there's some great tracks on it, but there's a lot of fill on there. I really enjoyed the first album, and I'm really looking forward to the second album too. I love Shockwave. I think it's a great track. I really like Once too, and I like this. I'm looking forward to the album as a whole.
Cool. Good. That's fantastic. All right, well, look, people listening, if you want to give your views on Once... No, let's try that again. So, people listening, if you want to give your views on one of us, do drop us a line. Usual places, oasispod@gmail.com or oasispod on the socials, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Now, the other thing, while I've got you, Mark, the other thing we were just going to do is today's A to Z song is a little one, Champagne Supernova. So we've had in, as we'll be about to drop into to the show, a number of sort of people have sent in their thoughts on it and breakdowns and things. So we'll get to that in a bit. But just so as you mentioned earlier, you were a slightly younger Oasis fan. I think you're about 4 years younger than me or something. And it was really What's the Story, Morning Glory, obviously with Champagne Supernova, that was like your big entry into the world of Oasis, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't just the entry into the world of Oasis, entry into the world of music. I always say that What's the Story, Morning Glory changed everything for me, because that's when I actually got a taste in music. I have an older sister who very much is to blame. No, I always say she's very much to blame for my musical taste, but I thank her a lot for getting me into the indie scene, because she used to play me tracks and constantly be listening to tracks by Oasis. She was into Oasis from the beginning. I wasn't interested. She used to play the usual, the Smiths. She used to play Nirvana, etc. around that time, but I just didn't care at all. What's Story, Morning Glory came out and everything changed all of a sudden for me. I can't quite tell you why it changed, but I was just of that age. I was 11 years old when it came out, and I became obsessed with Oasis at the time, and with guitar-based music as well. It's that album meant a lot to me. Champagne Supernova obviously played a big part in that. Mm. I think now, when I think about Champagne Supernova, what does it mean to me? It helps to... I remember a few big moments in life of myself and friends as well. It's the type of track that people play. So some friends of mine had it as the first... Some really close friends of mine had it as the first dance at their wedding. So I always think about that when I hear the track. A friend of mine who sadly passed away a few years ago, they played Champagne Supernova at his funeral. Really? And it's that type of song that it can just... It means so much to so many people, and it plays an important part in people's lives just because it's so epic and it's so beautiful, and it's just got so much to it.
Mm. No, I completely agree. It's there's not many songs that would pass that kind of funeral test, is there? Especially sort of indie rock world songs. Mm. Not just like Robbie Williams' Angels or whatever, but that is certainly up there. And when we were talking about Definitely Maybe, that if you guys want to listen to, go and check out Remember the First Time. It is a big step forward, and it's probably the most significant step forward from Definitely Maybe, in that here's this epic song that sort of starts off with this sound effect of, water on the lapping on the waves, and it's got other instruments happening. There's like that Boneheads playing that, what are those things called? The little you blow into them and you've got a little keyboard on them. I can't even think what they're called now, but Boneheads playing one of them in the video, and it was just so, in the way it builds and builds and builds, and it's so dynamic. When we talk about music with a lot of different aspects and different like elements to it, you've got the verse, the how many special people change section, and then you've got this someday you will find me section, which then you get as a quiet version, and then you get it later on as the loud version as well, when all the guitars come in, and then you've got the brilliant 'cause people believe section, which is just so powerful, and then it goes back into that part at the end again, and so the where we were, getting high, so, and then it fades away again. So it's a crescendo of a song in the way it starts off quiet, builds to this incredible peak, and then falls away again, and it's such a and such a perfect way to end what is a crescendo and epic album.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I mean, you mentioned the music video then. It just got me thinking. I was like, oh, it's ages since I've seen that video. But it's the one where Liam's laid on the bed, isn't he?
Yeah,
and
he's laid on the floor.
And it's spinning round and coming down into him. And it's, yeah, it's so dreamy.
Yeah.
Like you say, it does change throughout the song. I like one of my favourite parts of the track. Is the middle eight that you mentioned before, because it's very Oasis. People believe that we're going to get away for the summer. That's what people care about.
Mm.
But the rest of the track is just so un-Oasis. Mm. And they blend into each other so well, I feel.
Mm. No, it is. It's absolutely phenomenal. Right, I tell you what, let's jump into what some other people had to say about it. So on Twitter, whenever we do these, I do the hashtag Oasis A to Z, and we do it, we get people to rank them out of five. So I do a poll options, 5, 4, 3, 2, and the highest one so far was Acquiesce. And mm-hmm. Guess what? Champagne Supernova has beaten it. It is now the highest ranked Oasis song. No surprise there. So, yeah, 5 out of 5 got 82%. 4 got 13%. 3 got 3%. And 2 got 2%. Who in their right mind is giving 2 to Champagne Supernova?
Have they heard the track?
Unbelievable. But, yeah, whether it's someone being contrary or whatever, don't know. Right, let's have a little bit. So we've got Richard Bowes, bonkers, lyrically nonsense, yet somehow profound with suitably epic vocal. The moment when Noel stood on Earth, surveyed all around him, then decided to go hell for leather in reaching the stars. That's beautifully poetic there, Richard. Let's touch on a couple of bits there. So lyrically nonsense, yet somehow profound. I agree with that. I mean, he said that there's certain things in there, slowly walking down the hall faster than the cannonball. That doesn't make any
sense. Makes no sense at all.
Right. And I think what he mentioned, if you remember in the Morning Glory album cover, there's like a little man in a jar of sugar. And I think that's him, like slowly walking down the hall faster than the cannonball. And there's like a ball bearing as well. And I think he was just like looking at objects and just thinking up lines. But then people then also attribute "Where Were You While We Were Getting High" to the Stone Roses, because the roses had just gone away and disappeared for, you know, 5-6 years. And basically Oasis just came in and took the mantle. So I don't know if that's been confirmed. I remember reading that. And then obviously then it comes full circle, because then when they played the track at Nebworth, John Squire comes and plays it with them on stage. So it was, very special.
Yeah, that's true, it's true. I was just thinking, it's Paul Weller, isn't it, that plays additional guitar on the
yes.
album? It's not John Squire on the album.
Yeah, it's Weller on the album, yeah. And there is, and you can get isolated tracks of Champagne Supernova, so I, you know what, I'm going to drop in a little bit of the isolated Paul Weller solo now. So let's have a look. Simon Hughes said, "I remember hearing it for the first time and I was in tears by the end of the track. Such a powerful song and I never tire of hearing it. Showcases Liam's voice wonderfully. Classic Oasis." And another great bit of behind the scenes footage we've seen is Liam recording it in one take and he nails it. I don't think that was the final take. I think there was like a couple of takes, but it's incredible, really, this God-given talent that this kid has got to just be able to hear a song, learn it, nail it in one take. And as someone that was a singer in a band and like repeatedly messed up in the studio and had to go and record little extra bits and pieces. That is not an easy task, so that is quality.
It's not. Likewise, same here, but it comes down to his confidence as well, I think, there, because it's noted a lot. We spoke earlier around the Definitely Maybe documentary, and around the time of recording Definitely Maybe, that a lot of people said the same. Liam in the studio then, he'd just walk in and he'd hit a track in one or two takes, because he was just able to just pull it out of the bag.
Yeah.
He was the, like, professional, really, which is not really the word that you would think to describe Liam Gallagher.
Yeah, and in later years as well, it was just a case of physically getting him into the studio, which ended up delaying other albums and stuff, but there you go.
Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova. A champagne supernova, 'cause people believe that they're gonna get away for the summer. But you and I will live and die, the world's still spinning round, we don't know why.
Right, who have we got? Dave Dugan. This is Five Stars Simple. I don't know anyone who likes Oasis who can't say this is one of their best tunes. Don't give me any nonsense about it being overplayed. That doesn't take away from it being great. That's a good point. Overplayed. So, for instance, I wouldn't sit down and choose to put this track on. I would with, like we talked about, Cloudburst or It's Getting Better Man or something like that. I would just randomly put that on. I'd probably never choose to put this song on. Just because of that overplayed factor. It doesn't drop in value for me, because I do accept it's like a 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 song. But do you have that sort of overplayed factor? What's your view on that?
Not at all. This is a track that I'm like you. It's not one that I just pull out the bag these days. I used to. It would have been around the time. It isn't even one of my favourite tracks on the album. It's not the one that I would go, yes, Champagne Supernova is the track for me off the album, but it's one that I never ever tire of, and I can hear so many times and I still just can just sit back and enjoy it. I've never thought to myself, I'm sick of hearing this track.
Right.
So now I can't agree that it's overplayed, because every time it's enjoyable, and there's different reasons to listen to it. It's normally towards the end of a night, let's get the track on, everybody's got their arms around each other and just blasting it out as friends, as loud as they can sing it. But yeah, it's what, 24 years later, I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do a couple more of these. So we've got Amy F-Spot said, I've always loved this song. It winds up and then just goes like a spinning top. Closer from Nine Inch Nails or 3 Days from Jane's Addiction does the same, and it's got big power chords. I love a good big power chord. Perfect. Russ Collins, who is at Barley Water Fed, said a stunning and timeless track. Ending the Definitely Maybe and What's the Story in Morning Glory phase with arguably Noel's greatest song. It's wistful, life-affirming, and a song with bonkers lyrics that don't need to make sense. And for anyone who's had anyone let them down, where were you while we were getting high? I like that. Sean Byrne at OR Lead. It's a solid 5 for me. Not the best in lyric-wise from Noel, but a tune that instantly sends Oasis vibes. Always reminds me of a hot summer's day when I hear it. Classic sing-along anthem, what more do you want? So we'll leave it there, but there's hundreds of... there's hundreds of responses, probably millions of responses actually to my Twitter, but there you go. Cool, good. All right, well, I think we'll leave it there, unless you've got any closing thoughts on Champagne Supernova, Mark?
Nothing further to add to it now. I just think it's an absolute classic, and I think it's the type of track that our generation will always remember. I think Oasis were the band of our generation, and I think this track serves that well.
Brilliant. I always go back to, I did an interview with a guy called Ken Womack, who's a scholar of music, and particularly like the Beatles. He's written books on the Beatles, he's written books on George Martin. And his point was, you know, this is coming from a completely different generation, different part of the world, was their masterworks, and he pulled out Champagne Supernova as their greatest song. is up there with anything put together by the Beatles. And I agree. I think if this song is on Abbey Road, it's one of the best songs on Abbey Road. You know, and Abbey Road is probably one of my favourite albums of all time. I don't think this song would feel out of place on any of the best Beatles albums. And I think that's basically says everything you can say about it.
It really is, it's true.
Cool. Well, Mark, thank you so much for your time. Just remind the kids where they can find you and Remember the First Time Pod.
Yeah, check out Remember the First Time. Like I say, if you want to celebrate music from 25 years ago, we're looking at it from what it was then to what it is now, you can find us at rememberthefirsttime.com, or you can access us via all good podcast channels.
And some rubbish ones.
And some rubbish ones.
Brilliant, Mark. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much.
So thank you very much to Mark for his time. That was absolutely brilliant, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. And yeah, make sure you are checking out our Remember the First Time pod, especially next episode, because I'm going to be on it, so that's always worth listening to. I think we spoke about Definitely Maybe before we spoke about the other stuff. Really good chat. I think they're only going to put a small amount of it in their episode, but the full whack will be available, I think, on their... they're looking at doing some extra stuff on their website, and I'm going to put out the full chat on my Patreon. So if you are a patron, you'll be able to get that and hear the full chat about me and Mark going all in on Definitely Maybe and various other bits as well. So that's all good. There's a few other bits news-wise just to cover off. So the 25th anniversary of Definitely Maybe is encroaching very fast now. And the Oasis kind of official channel has sort of come into gear a little bit. There is a couple of releases coming out, so there's going to be a new Definitely Maybe vinyl with a picture disc. There's going to be a new sort of deluxe set and things. Nothing that looks like it's too exciting for me. I'm not a big vinyl collector. I'm really just looking for extra stuff, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any new tracks or anything. I think that the last time they did the sort of the full remastered version with all the bonus tracks, they kind of used up everything they were going to use. There's a few more bits out there, like we know that Brian Garcia's got the studio version of Armed Walrus, and there's certain other bits and pieces like that, which I don't know if they'll ever see the light of day now. So it's only really if you're friends with Brian Garcia that he might play it to you. Maybe at some point when he needs to pay for, I don't know, private school for his kids, he might have to cash them in and flog them. We might be able to hear them, but until then, probably won't hear that. But anyway, yeah, so there is that special edition Definitely Maybe coming out, and the Oasis Twitter account sort of doing a couple of bits and pieces. They've been getting people to share photos with the hashtag DefMaybe25, and there's sort of a community group on there where people are sharing photos and stuff, so that's good. Also, something they did about 4 or 5 days ago is they've done this Slide Away cover challenge, and they've asked people to submit cover versions of Slide Away. So if you wanted to do that particularly, then you could do. I don't know if this is connected to the whole Definitely Maybe 1025 thing, but Bonehead posted a bunch of pictures on Instagram the other day. Well, it wasn't really pictures. It was him like taking a picture of his computer where there were pictures. And he said basically that he had about 8 rolls of film developed from 1994. Now, it's something that when I interviewed Tony said that, I said, oh, have you got many pictures? And he said, well, no, not really. He said that Bonehead was... you know, taking a bunch of pictures at a time, and there was quite a couple of sort of instant cameras would be, you know, those sort of disposable cameras would be like bombing around. And yeah, he did think that Bonehead took a few photos. So yeah, so whether or not they will be somehow connected to this sort of new set that's coming out, I don't know. But yeah, apparently there are a bunch of these coming out, whether it's a book or what, not sure, but it's very exciting. Michael Spencer Jones is doing stuff, who took the photos along with Brian Cannon designed, and I'm hoping to get hold of him shortly. And obviously we've got the live dates coming up. The show in Newbury at Arlington Arts Centre is now only, 2 and a bit weeks away. If you can get down to that, I'd really appreciate it if you can. It's a tough one to sell because it's not like in a city centre, so you can't really like come out drinking really too easily. It's more of a sort of a professional kind of, you know, Q&A sitting in like a little theatre night. So it hasn't sold as well as those like big ones where you're getting like groups of people out on the lash really to come and like party. It's more of a like a sensible, serious sit down and listen to me chatting to McGee, and then also watching this this really good band, the Barretts. So if you're anywhere near Newbury, Berkshire, South Oxfordshire, North Hampshire, East Wiltshire, anywhere around there, if you can come on down to Arlington Arts Centre, come and watch me talk to McGee, plus the Barretts are a fantastic young band. I would really appreciate it. If you can hit the link in the description, tickets are available, so do come on down and support me and Alan and the show. And then coming up after that in October, we've got the Water Rats again with Alan. And then at the start of November, we've got the show up in Glasgow, which is going to be absolutely brilliant. So stay in touch and stay engaged and come out and see us live. A couple of other bits of news just to touch upon before we jump into the Champagne Supernova stuff that you guys have sent in. Noel's recently released a video for This Is The Place that just came out. And it's a bit of a funny one. It's kind of done on the cheap, I think. It's basically the four High Flying Birds band is playing in front of a green screen, and the green screen is showing kind of weird psychedelic images, stuff from like the 60s and 70s. That's about it, really. They're just they're performing away. Jess is kind of at the back in the corner and doesn't really get any close-ups. Wisey gets a few close-ups, Gem looking cool. Noel sort of, gurns his way through it as he normally does. But anyway, it's worth watching. Liam clearly doesn't agree with me, though. He was actually like laughing on Twitter and I think someone said, well, when's the video for One of Us comes out? He said something like, when we've all stopped laughing at our kids one, which would probably be about a year or something like that. So, yeah, but I am really looking forward to Liam's One of Us video. So, I mean, it might be out very shortly and we'll be able to talk about it in the next episode. Noel's been playing some shows with the Smashing Pumpkins, and we've got a little review of that from our good friend Amy.
Hey James, this is Amy. I was calling or gonna send in a review from Friday night's show with Noel, opening for the Smashing Pumpkins, and he played at Jones Beach Amphitheater in New York, which is out on Long Island, and he was one of two bands that opened for the Smashing Pumpkins. I'll start out by saying that I was surprised to see the number of previous tour t-shirts, Noel tour t-shirts, that people had worn. So that kind of leads me to assume that people had, specifically come to see Noel as opposed to specifically coming to see this Pumpkins, which obviously there were the majority of people were there for them, but still. And also my show started out, I got shat on by a seagull. So in effect, I got shat on by a high flying bird. He came out basically, I think Fort Knox or Holy Mountain, I can't remember which one. Anyway, it was basically the same set from last year with the addition of Black Star Dancing and the addition of This Is The Place from the EPs. And then he had added on Stop Crying Your Heart Out. And I had not seen that live before, so for me anyway, that was definitely a new addition. And then he played Little by Little, which he apparently did not play the night before, and closed out with All You Need Is Love. So it was all very it was your expectations of what a Noel show is, and it's very professional and to the point. Not a whole lot of chit-chat, not a whole lot of audience interaction other than to refer to us as New Jersey, which after about the third time, people started booing and he told them where to go, which was actually kind of funny. So everybody looked happy to be there. Charlotte, I don't know if I just said this or not, Charlotte was back and she seemed very happy, as did everyone else. And everything looked to be in order. So I guess that's really it. It was a good show. I'll be seeing him again in a couple of weeks in Atlanta. Be interesting to see what, if anything, has been modified from the set list. And if maybe he'll have something new to say to us. Or maybe he'll think he's in Cleveland. I don't know. But it was good. I enjoyed it. Every time I see him, it just strikes me, he's very tiny. He's so little. He is. Liam is. Liam is right about that. Oh, and this guy behind me said that Liam had tweeted out that this tour was the pumpkin and potato tour. Now I don't know if that's true or not, but that would be pretty funny if he did. So, yeah, it was good, and I'll be glad to see him again in a couple weeks, and if anything else has changed, I'll be happy to pass it along, and that's all I got. Thanks much. Bye.
Thank you very much for that, Amy. Much appreciated. Yeah, he is small, isn't he? It's funny when you sort of see him in the flesh. He does, he is really small. And it feels like he's smaller now than he used to be. I don't know if that's why that is. If maybe that the other people in his band are quite tall now and it just makes him look small in comparison. Or maybe in the Oasis days he sort of seemed bigger, or maybe because his hair was a bit bigger. I don't quite know. But yeah, he does seem quite small now. I'm not sure why. But anyway, there you go. Thank you very much for that review. Right, let's get on to the Champagne Supernova stuff that you guys have sent in. First off, let's hear from Carly.
Champagne Supernova has always been a 5 out of 5 and will remain a 5 out of 5 star rating from me for the rest of my life. I don't care how many times I've heard it. At times where I've heard it a lot, then I take a break from it for a while and come back and love it all over again. But it will never stop being a 5 out of 5. And I've heard that song since I was a little kid. It's one of my earliest memories of music, because it would be played throughout my house when it came out, and I was born in 1993. So I'm almost 26 now, and I've loved that song since the beginning. And I feel like I will always love that song with the rest of Oasis discography, because I've always felt that I will share it with my future kids at some point and listen to it for the rest of my life. And that song in particular has always been in my top favorites, just because it feels perfect. Just hearing waves crashing, hearing a song with a great guitar solo, great building to a climax, with the ending of just joint na na na's, and Liam's vocals being amazing. It's just all around, I love everything about it. And even though it's not the best lyrics that Noel's ever written, it doesn't have to be for that song. It works, and it's great. It makes you feel something. It takes you on a journey. and it's something that I believe everyone should listen to, and I don't understand anyone who could ever say that it's not a great song. It's perfect to me. And oddly enough, I had thought about at some point in my life that when you'd have a funeral and a song could play, and when people are there to say goodbye, I've thought that this song could be a great song for that, oddly enough to say. With lyrics, you know, such as, you know, we live and die, the world's still spinning round, we don't know why. Lines like, wipe that tear away from your eye, saying that we're in a champagne supernova in the sky, talking about how people's lives change and how maybe people's lives are living strangely. I feel like it's something where it could actually make you think about life and afterlife in some ways, or to just not be sad and to go on the journey. That's kind of what I take away from it sometimes as I listen to it, and I think that it could be a good send-off song like that. And even though it could sound morbid, I think in a way that it would be a beautiful message. And I don't know if anyone ever has thought of that, but I thought that might be something interesting to add to the conversation.
Brilliant, Carly, thank you so much for that. That's great. And yeah, interesting what you're saying there about it being used as a funeral song potentially. And as we heard from Mark earlier in the episode, yes, he's been to a funeral where it was used, which I think it would be interesting to hear it as that. And yes, you can say that the lyrics aren't great, but yeah, when you pick out those individual lines, as you did there, and as I know our friend of the pod, Katie Georgiou, has done as well, yeah, when you pick out those individual lines, there are some incredible lines that would work really well at a funeral. You and I will live and die, the world's still spinning round, we don't know why. You know, and in a champagne supernova in the sky, you could say, well, that's, what does that even mean? Is that a lot of rubbish? But actually, you know, when you think about the fact that we are on this huge, great, big, you know, lump of rock hurtling through space, you know, in this sea of stars, well, yeah, we are in a champagne supernova in the sky. So yeah, or you could think of it as, someday you will find me, as in, after I'm dead, I'll be up in the stars, you know. And so I mean, you've got that as a thought, but anyway, getting a bit morbid now. Let's move on to a bit more of a breakdown of the track.
Hi Oasis podcast, it's Ian, aka Noel, from Columbia up in Edinburgh. I'm just going to give you a quick rundown on Champagne Supernova for the A to Z. Also, check us out in Glasgow at Stereo on the 1st of November for the live Oasis podcast with Tony. Champagne Supernova, famously the song that made Bonehead cry, and I can't listen to it since a friend of mine ruined it and said that the second time that Liam says champagne supernova in the verse, it goes champagne supernova. If you hear it really turned up, it's like, oh, you almost get the spit on you, which is quite cool. Starting with the gear that was used by Noel during recording, he was using on Morning Glory, on the episode where Owen's kind of interviewed, he talks about a blues breaker being used by Bonehead, and I think a JCM 900 being used by Noel to marshal amps. But what isn't mentioned is a 1958 Fender Blues Junior, which is prevalent on the record, especially on Champagne Supernova. And it, I think Noel sold it back in 2012. It must have gone for an absolute fucking fortune, because it was an original amp, and also it's used on a record that sold 20 million. But it's got a really, they've got really great clean tones, and you can kind of hear it all over the quieter parts of Champagne Supernova in particular. That little amp, it's a 15 watt tube amp. They've been reissuing them, or remaking them at least anyway, for the last sort of 20 years, I think, or even longer. But they Noel has used that quite regularly in his live setup since probably the first time I noticed it was 97 on the Be Here Now tour. He must have been using it for the clean tones and maybe some like crunchy distortion stuff that he's putting through it. He's using not the 58 Tweed, he's using like a sort of a reissue, but you pick them up for about 350 quid second hand, 600 quid brand new. And what he did with it, or does with it, I still think he uses them in High Flying Birds, is you could basically unplug the speaker really easily, just pull the jack out, which you can't do in all amps, and just put a jack in, and then he puts it into a Marshall cab, which gives it the sound. And they're actually really loud amps for little 15 watt sort of amps that you would quite happily have in the house. You can take it into a rehearsal, even like a reasonably sized pub gig, and just it'd probably be loud enough, but then just giving it that tube sound going through a Marshall as well, really beef it up. So I've just got it set with everything on about 6 o'clock at the minute on the dials, and it sounds a bit like this. I'm playing it through a Epiphone Dot, so semi-acoustic, kind of like the same setup as the Rivieras and the Sheratons that Noel and Bonehead are famous for using, kind of in this period. But you just put it onto the rhythm pickup and turn the treble about halfway down, and you get a really nice clean tone. And a lot of the beginning of the song is just basically, it's in an A suspended second chord, and your finger, the differences between the different chords are just basically playing an A and then putting your finger on the G on the E string, and then an F sharp, and then an E, so that it sort of goes down the scale, I guess. So it's something like this. That's actually in the F sharp scale. So the little noodling and bits and pieces that go on within that chord structure are just in F sharp. So it's all that kind of stuff. And he just must have sat there for hours, probably before Liam brought everybody back from the pub, just being recorded by Owen and then taking and chopping the best bits out. So. You can hear that echo in the sustain that comes from the reverb on this amp. Got a really nice sound to it. So that's all through the verse. And live, they kind of arpeggiate it and pick it. Quite similar to what they do on what he does on Supersonic, though. He kind of mixes the strings up. It's not just a straightforward arpeggio. So it's, again, in the A second suspended shape. And live, it's something like this. Which you might recognise from, well, pretty much every other live version that they did, apart from they started to clean it right up back in 2009 and go a bit more with the cleaner tones again at the beginning of the song. So that's all A suspended second, which is basically an A shape, but you leave your third finger off, with adding your finger onto a G, an F sharp and an E, and letting it ring out. When the distorted guitar comes in and Bonehead comes in, it's just a little nuance, but instead of playing the A suspended second with an F sharp on, you play a D, and it kind of just brightens the whole thing up. So I'll just play that as you know it. Thank you. And then in the chorus, you've got, again, it's really simple chords. It's G, A, G, D, E. So it's something like this. Really simple chords. In fact, it's quite a simple song to play, but I think it's incredibly well crafted in terms of I mean, it's got some fantastic playing on it in particular, but you kind of got really simple A, G, F sharp, you know, G, A, G, D, E. They're really like some of the, it's the first chords that you learn as a guitarist, but the way that you go, that it's been written, is, like I was saying before, the like the little lead bits are in an F sharp, someone might correct me, but like an F sharp minor chord shape in when it's playing the A suspended second part of it. And but then in the solo, it goes into an A major, so it's like a key change. So it uses two keys within the song. On in terms of just the guitar parts, I think I can't think of any other song that Oasis do that does that. And even to be fair, to a certain extent, like obviously the solo split between Noel and Weller's guitar solo part of it's even. I don't know if I'm playing it wrong, but I think that's even in E minor. So it's even like that's different again. So. Going back to when it goes back into the A suspended second part after the first chorus, it's got the little sort of noodly bit again, the little solo which Gem and Noel started playing sort of back to back, almost status quo in octaves, which I was never a fan of, but I think that Noel probably just appreciated having a guitarist that could play the solo. Sorry, Bonehead, if you're listening, but it goes something like this. Court as well, Noel kind of plays it at the lower octave, but it's exactly the same. We've heard it a million times before. So my favourite solo or version of the solo is kind of Earl's Court, which is on There and Then in 95, and I think it's there's variants of that solo all the way through Familiar to Millions as well. But it's quite different to the way that they play it on the record between Weller and Noel. And it's basically, again, it's going through an A minor scale through the lower octave on the 5th fret and then up to the 15th fret. But the way that he works it, again, I've said this before, like Noel gets slagged off as a guitarist. I think to a certain extent later in his career, in Oasis' career, he kind of lost his bottle a bit because of that, and I think he should probably have stuck with it. He doesn't waste, apart from on certain songs on Beer Now, he generally doesn't waste a note, and he certainly didn't on Champagne Supernova. But every note is there for a reason and to add a different dynamic, and the way that the solo goes from a lower octave up to a higher octave is brilliant, and I think that it captures the spirit of the song and what the song's about, because it is like a rush or a crescendo in musical terms, and the way it's like up and down and peaks and troughs. So I'll just play what I mean. So it's the solo is basically a unison bend with two fingers on the same, held on the same fret but on different strings, so on the G string and the B string, basically bending like on Rock and Roll Star, which is like this. and then he goes up through the scale almost on unison bends. And then up to the higher octave. And I love the way that that peaks and troughs and kind of works through. And there are different versions of it. But for me, that's my favourite version, which is why I'm kind of reviewing that one. Again, drops back down to the A suspended second to finish the tune out. But there is a fourth part to the tune, which, again, I don't know what sort of scale and how this fits in, because in terms of, I don't think this actually does fit in with any particular scale or, I don't know, school of songwriting, but it just sounds right. So someone's probably out there could put me in a better, in the picture again, as to why it works, somebody with a better musical knowledge than me. But it basically finishes on a F, a G and an A, and in live versions at Earl's Court and through at the G-Mex in 98 and the Japanese gigs, they like jam that out to death, but it does sound amazing. So it kind of goes like this. So the end of the song is, and it finishes on there. Keep that going on live versions and just go back down to FGA. And then there's all kinds of different solos and bits and pieces going on. And on the album version, again, after saying what I said at the beginning about Liam kind of coming and spluttering Champagne Supernova, there's when the guitar comes in at the end, it's out of time, really badly out of time if you listen to it. So you know, just a little bit of annoying things. It's hopefully not going to ruin the song for you. Anyway, cheers, and hopefully speak to you soon.
Thank you, Ian. Brilliant stuff, as always. And and Ian is the Knoll in Colombia, the Sound of Oasis, who will be playing with us 1st of November with Tony McCarroll. And something that happened this week, Tony played a gig in Birmingham, and he was supported there by an Oasis tribute band from the Midlands called Oasis Maybe. And he got behind the kit with Oasis Maybe and played Supersonic, like the whole song. So if you remember at my show at the Water Rats, you know, he got behind the kit briefly and I sang like a little bit, but then that was it. Whereas this time he actually got behind the kit and played with the tribute band, and he absolutely loved it by all accounts. And so I'm just hoping that maybe, cross fingers, he gets on stage and plays with the Columbia guys as well, because that would be absolutely brilliant. But yeah, once again, if you hit the episode description or you go to the pinned tweet on my Twitter, you will see how to get tickets for that show in Glasgow on November the 1st. Absolutely brilliant. Right, let's now go over to our good friend Grandpa Batman and see what he's got to say about it.
Hello, JC. This is Grandpa Batman. I know that you are doing an A to Z review for Champagne Supernova, and I would be remiss if I did not just offer a small audio commentary on it. This is my favorite Oasis song ever. This is the one song that I always go back to, and I can hear it at any time, and it just takes me back to the first time that I heard it. I told you on my previous A to Z for Cast No Shadow that What's the Story Morning Glory was my first introduction to Oasis. And I remember the day that I first heard the whole album, and I took the album and I just, you know, I put it in a Walkman, listened to it on a CD player with my headphones, and from beginning all the way to the end. And when I got to Champagne Supernova, it was like I was hypnotized. And, you know, it starts off with the swirling sound of water, and then it starts with the acoustic guitar, and then everything comes in, and, you know, the little subtle blues Jimi Hendrix style lead comes in, and I was just mesmerized. And, you know, as the song slowly builds and builds and builds until it hits that huge solo section, I mean, I was just convinced at that point I had to get an electric guitar. I'd only been playing acoustic guitar up until that point. And I probably listened to that song at least 5 times that day, just letting it soak in and getting lost in the music. And even to this day, I hear something new every time I hear this song. Even if it's a live version or the same recording from What's the Story Morning Glory, this song speaks to me as a listener. It's like their Stairway to Heaven in a way, and it's a timeless classic that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's been played on every tour since its release. I know that I've seen Oasis 6 times, and they played it on every tour that they were on here in the States. I know you've got a full A to Z review, and you're going to have, you know, someone break it down. One thing that I wanted to mention, just as a guitar player, why this song is also so fascinating to me, you know, it's in the key of A major, and you know, it has that walking chromatic sequence that Noel uses in a lot of his songs. But the cool thing about it, you know, Noel typically plays his leads in like a minor pentatonic scale. So for this song being in a major scale, he simply moved his minor pentatonic scale back 3 frets, still keeping A as your root note, and playing the same shape as, you know, a minor pentatonic. But when you move it back 3 frets, it changes that to a major. And this is for all those licks like that. So that was something that I learned, you know, as a beginning guitar player on when I was first learning my scales. And it was like a big moment for me as a guitar player where I was like, wow, I can actually play this song. And then another thing that was interesting about this song is that as it got into the solo section, the key changes from A major to A minor. You know, the notes are A, G, then he adds the F sharp, which is probably more likely the rhythm guitar player is playing a D chord, and then the F note, G, A. It doesn't resolve back down on the E as it has before in the verse. He adds that F note so that Noel can play a true A minor pentatonic scale. You know, he comes in with the bends and all that, and then over the top of that, Paul Weller comes in with his second solo where he's playing, you know, A minor pentatonic as well. So I just thought that was, you know, something unique as a songwriter to actually change the scale from a major to a minor right in the middle of the song just for a solo section. But it actually works out so well because it adds, you know, a little bit more force and aggression. And then it resolves back in the major. It's just absolutely beautiful. This song has a lot of influence on me in the studio. Partially because, you know, I love the texture that's involved. I remember the first time I was recording an album, I played a solo over one section of a song, and I told the producer, "All right, give me another track. I need to play a second solo." And they were looking at me like, "What?" And I was like, just trust me on this. So it all comes back to this song. I love, you know, the textured solos on that. So as I added the second texture solo to my own song, which actually I just played the same solo an octave lower, then the producers thought, "Oh, that's a pretty good idea." And I've done it on a lot of my songs. And, you know, artist influence aren't always necessarily on how you play, because when I play guitar, I don't play like Noel Gallagher. I don't play like this person. I don't play like that person. I pick up little nuances that they, you know, from those types of artists, but, you know, my own personal music sounds nothing like them. But the techniques that they use on their music, that can be an influence. And, you know, Champagne Supernova is a song that it definitely has been an influence on me.
Thank you very much, Grandpa Batman. And yeah, it's interesting there. I think you and Ian coming out with kind of different things on which scale it's in, which key it's in. It's quite interesting that, you know, who knows? I suppose it's tricky to figure that stuff out. But yeah, anyway, so that was all good. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Right, now on these, it's a funny one here because there's, when we do these A to Zs, you know, you sort of look at things like times it's been covered by people. This has been covered so much by so many different artists that I'm not going to cover them all here, but I just thought I'd drop in a couple of little bits of ones that are particularly interesting. So one that I've played twice on here before, so I'm not going to play it again. I dropped it on, I think, episode 3, and another one is the Ben Folds one. So that's worth checking out. It's on YouTube. Ben Folds sort of does it like in sort of a sort of funny country style. So that's interesting. The guy from Hootie and the Blowfish has been playing this on his recent tours. So let's have a bit of that.
Someday you will find me. Company the landslide in a champagne supernova in the sky. Someday you will find me. Company the landslide of a champagne supernova. A champagne.
Yeah, very good. Right, also the Cortinas, big Oasis fans as we know, they have played it and then transitioned into their song Small Bones. So let's have a bit of that. Rivers Cuomo from Weezer, we know, is a massive Oasis fan, and he's covered it. So he did it like on a live stream, and he's done it in concert as well. So that's worth checking out.
Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova. Champagne supernova. People believe that they're gonna get away.
us are spinning around. We don't know why.
These chords are not right.
Another one that we have heard before, but I'm not going to drop in here, is Snow Patrol. Snow Patrol played it on that V Festival when Oasis pulled out. I think someone dropped a bit of that in an audio message the other day, and I'm not playing that because it wasn't very good. But one that was done at the Radio 1 Live Lounge is by an American band called The Pretty Reckless. So this is quite a good quality one. Let's check it out. I think that will do for now. If you're aware of other covers that you think are worth dropping in little clips of in here, then do feel free to get in touch and let me know. One of the points that Grandpa Batman made then was that they played it pretty much on every tour as soon as it was sort of introduced to the set. And that is true. If you look back on the various set lists they did, yes, it was there on the last ever gig in sort of August 2009. And it was first debuted in Trentham Gardens in Stoke in October 1995. So pretty much 451 shows. It pretty much stayed in the set, which is understandable because it's a hell of a song.
It's just a great song. Should have been a single. I got slagged off at the time as well, you know.
How many spirits that we will change? How many lives are living strange? Where were you while we were getting high?
That's one song that we've, ever since it was released, I think we've played it every night, where possible.
It's a tune, man.
It is a tune.
Where were you while we were getting high? Sometimes you will find me.
Just before we went into record Morning Glory, it was a real great period for us. We were sat on the tour bus in Germany. We got to this hotel early, so none of the rooms were ready. So
how he remembers all this
so
stuff?
So we sat in the car park, right?
Are you fucking 100% sure?
I am 100% sure. I put one of my houses on it. So somebody says, we're going in to do Morning Glory next week. Have you got any tunes for the new album? And I said, well, we went up to the back line, so I'll play them for you for them. And I played the low one, fucking cast my shadow one, but then all this, and played Champagne Supernova in its entirety on acoustic guitar, and looked up and at the end, Bonham was crying.
You've not just written that, have you?
Fuck,
sorry. Sorry. I love you.
But Bonham was crying, and I was looking at him thinking, you fucking soft lad, either that or it's shit.
Okay, one of the things we always talk about was, is it right there where it is on the album? Yes, I think it's absolutely perfect where it is. I don't think it should have been anywhere else. I think that was absolutely correct. It's a perfect ending track. And absolutely ideal the way it sort of comes in just after that bit of extra Swamp Song, and then you get that sort of fuzziness of the sort of the radio going in and out, and then Champagne Supernova comes in. Perfect, absolutely perfect. I absolutely love it. Should it have been a single? Well, it was a single in America, and you know, in America it tends to be, you know, Wonderwall and Champagne Supernova that are the biggest two songs. It wasn't ever a single over here. And yeah, and what's interesting as well, because it wasn't a single here, you see that the single cover for when it was released in America is this sort of shot of Liam and Noel kind of in silhouette, and it's not a Brian Cannon shot, and it's pretty much, there's a couple of others that aren't as well, but it's one of the only things that was released by Oasis that doesn't have a Brian Cannon devised and probably Michael Spencer Jones shot cover. So yeah, so that's quite interesting. And we talked quite a bit recently about Liam bringing it back into the set, but the fact he's been doing it with this sort of bizarre kind of setup when it's just the piano, and he's ended up going out of time quite often when he's just playing it with the piano, which is quite bizarre. But yeah, there are some absolutely incredible versions of it. What an incredible song it is. And I agree. I go back to what Ian said there. I think the best version is the Earl's Court There and Then version, which I absolutely love. So let's end this piece with a little bit of that.
Do you have any memories from when you're on stage? Just trying to get our kid to shut up rambling complete and utter gibberish in between the songs.
I love each other by now. I fucking hate him. Honestly, God, all this bullshit about fighting songs all over lies. Me and him. He's a bull twat. Dear honestly, this one's called Champagne Super Ugly Cook.
Right, I think we'll put a pin in this here. If more of you inspired by what we've heard today want fancy sharing your thoughts on Champagne Supernova, then do feel free to get in touch. As we said, audio message to oasispod@gmail.com is the best way to do that. And yeah, more than happy to do kind of a part two follow-up episode type thing on Champagne Supernova. But that will do it for today. So thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast, and a special thanks to our patrons. You can become a patron, support the show at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post various things, including exclusive episodes. Last one that was posted there was me ranking every Gallagher released album from the last to the best out of all the BDI and Liam and Noel solo and Oasis albums, and I think that's quite interesting. So if you are a patron, go and check it out. If you're not, feel free to go and join from a pound and go and give that a listen. You can always cancel afterwards if you're really that cheap. And we've got more cool stuff coming up. So as I said, the full audio from my discussion about Definitely Maybe is going to go on there, and also I'm going to be doing a few more ranking type episodes. So I was going to rank the BDI songs, I think, might be next. And a few bits and pieces will go up on there. So yeah, do go and check that out. Do follow on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. You can email me oasispod@gmail.com. Please subscribe and review on iTunes. And we've had a new iTunes review come in this week, which says, brilliant, a superb, detailed, fan-led look at the most influential British band of the last 25 years. Praising them rightly, but honest and absolutely critical when deserved too. Great guests and new insight each episode. James has come a long way from recording the opening links in his car to now hosting major Oasis nights around the country. Great stuff. And that was from He's Got Red Hair. Thank you very much, He's Got Red Hair, whoever you may be. Much appreciated. So just a final reminder, if you can come to any of our upcoming shows, do check out the description here that explains where they all are. But we've got Arlington Arts Centre in Newbury with Alan McGee and the Barretts. We've got the Water Rats in London in October with Alan McGee and the Clockworks. And then we've got 1st of November with Oasis tribute Columbia, with Tony McCarroll in Glasgow at the Stereo. So that'll do it for today. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.
Liam was extraordinary, and they had this freaky thing where Noel would play the song once on acoustic guitar in the control room to Liam, give him the words, and he'd fucking sing it. Noel would listen to it once to check Liam's got the phrase in for the entire song that he's only just heard the once. Noel would go, "Nice one, Liam." And there was always football on when Oasis were recording. Noel would fuck off, Liam would just bang another four tracks down. It'd be like one in the afternoon. Cup of tea, lead vocal, done. You're like, what the fuck? You know, he's only heard the song once.